Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
You know, Steve and I were talking, Steve Quayle and myself were talking before the show about what's taking place all across the world, in America and then all across the world, and we were talking about something called delusional madness. You know, as we sit here and we look at things taking place, what has been done to the United States by the power brokers, by the people, unelected and elected. What has been done? They've broken our country. They've perverted everything that's good. They've taken sinful behavior, elevated that to something that is to be celebrated. And the biblical marriage, they've destroyed that. The biblical family destroyed that. You're looking at an army of invaders at our southern border. Open borders, you're looking at just the cities in this country, San Francisco to New York, being sewage pits, literally and figuratively. You've got, on the international scene, you've got people calling for direct military action against Russia, meaning World War III. You've got the economy about to explode or implode. The dollar will be killed. By the way, my column exclusive to Wisconsin Christian News, Killing the Dove, is about the murder of the U.S. dollar. That goes back, my goodness, 9 years, but it's been updated with some additional information. And so you've got that, and then you've got new developments on, and potentially new developments, or at least new observations about the mutagenic or genetic altering so-called vaccines, which are not vaccines, and of course the virus, the origins of the what they call the SARS-CoV-2 virus. So you look at all of this and compare that to the headlines of the Bible, and that's what we like to do because, you know, my saying is, look, if the Bible says it, if God says it, I believe it, that's it, period, right? That's it, okay? That's kind of my thinking. And so, I look at the Bible and look at the newspaper headlines, and you put them side by side, and you can see, at least in my view, a lot of, well, Revelation playing out, the book of Revelation playing out. And I think that we have to get serious. Those of us who are not, we have to get serious about making sure that we have a proper relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, first and foremost. And then from there, make sure that we are prepared for what is to come. Now with me, of course, is Steve Quayle. And before I bring Steve on, you know what, folks? Do me a favor, okay? I was doing some research on this. You know that we're going to be faced with food short. We are being faced with food shortages and some other issues, supply chain issues, but specifically food. And I think perhaps one of the most enlightening DVDs I've ever seen is Mega Drought. It's well done, and it explains where we are today, why we are where we are today, how we got here, and where we're headed from here. So if you haven't done so already, because there's some preparation in this too, in this DVD. When I say that, I mean, when you watch it, you'll understand what you need to do to prepare for what is coming. Go to gen6.com. That's gen6.com and order Mega Drought. Simple as that. And watch it. And then after you get done watching it, encourage others to purchase it. Or if they're really hard up, loan them your copy. Because people need to be informed about this. You talk about something that was ahead of its time. Mega Drought, man, ahead of its time. I just rewatched it myself, saw a few things that I didn't pick up the first time, and then compared it to what's happening today. And I got to tell you, it is prescient, and it's something that I think everyone really will benefit by knowing. Mega Drought, go to gen6.com. That's gen6.com. Link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. And you're listening and watching the Hagman Report. It is Thursday, April 14th, 2022. And with me is Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. And I'll tell you what, I look forward to every Thursday or every time he's on because we have a great time and a lot of information. So, Steve, thanks for coming on. Let's talk. Let's get into it. Where do you want to start?
Well, I think delusional madness is basically a good terminology for a jump off point, Doug, because again, we're getting to this time period that is biblical. Even the denialists, even the haters, even the God haters can't deny a couple things. And one of those things is that there's going to be global starvation. There's going to be global famine. There's going to be an absence of water, i.e. the mega drought. The mega drought goes into a lot more than just a mega drought. I should have changed it to mega death. And ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing. God asked mankind a really basic question. And when he says, why will you die, O man? And he says, why are you deciding to make decisions or not make decisions that are going to kill you? And without the forgiveness of the blood of Jesus, you're going to hell. But see, Doug, hell is something that has been extricated from the gospel. You've got different sects that don't believe in hell. You've got people that believe in the annihilation of the soul. When you die, that's it. You poof, you're gone. Nothing, you know, nothing comes after you. Nothing that came before you is remembered. But that's not the biblical way. So, excuse me, delusional madness. When something is, when you believe a delusion, or delusion is sent upon a people, it usually comes first in a form that may even sound true. I'll give you a good example. In my opinion, the Q Anonymous was delusional madness. Why the Q Anonymous phenomenon took the country by storm is because, again, the intelligence agencies that have openly bragged about, and obviously the famous quote by the head of director of CIA, when he said, well, know that our efforts have been effective when everything the American people believe is a lie, Bill Casey. And that's a real trend. We talked about that before, but let's get into what's going on right now. Throughout the land, we have empty shelves. And I can say this, we wouldn't have had empty shelves if we didn't have so many empty heads, okay? The basic understanding of what it takes to produce food, to basically transport food, and to keep the chain going has been destroyed. The COVID lockdown was the most sinister Luciferian, I'm talking Lucifer, the, if you will, the light bringer that got kicked out of heaven with a third of the angels. They're playing this to the hilt because they want one thing, the total destruction of humanity. And Jesus has been telling us and telling us and telling us, but I can tell you this, very few churches will deal with the extinction of human beings. Very few churches will preach on the annihilation of what the plans are for the globalists. Klaus Schwab, the slob, who in the right mind would listen to that guy and not realize we're going to have everything, you're going to have nothing, you're going to love it. You know, that's like putting everybody up with a migraine headache about, you know, and putting them on a wall, getting ready to hit them with a firing squad and saying, guess what? The good news is you're not going to have any more migraine headaches. The bad news is you're dead. So sometimes the delusion, and God says, when a nation turns against him in rebellion, and no greater nation in the history of the world, even ancient Israel, did not turn against God in the level of rebellion that the United States of America has. So as to our sin, so will our judgment be. So let's talk about world events and world affairs right now. Your show, we talked about Operation Sandman maybe 6-8 months ago, where it will be the coordinated global repudiation of the U.S. dollar. In the last 2 days, the Saudi Arabians sent a contingency of demands to the United States and the Federal Reserve. They want $170 trillion either in gold or they want it in oil and our oil, and the people who buy our oil will pay the Saudis. Now, $170 trillion is a lot of money, but that's just basically, ladies and gentlemen, what's balance sheet debt. Off of balance sheet debt is another $350 trillion. So $350 and $170, these were given to me. I would know this stuff. That's a half a quadrillion dollars, okay? That's a lot of money. So the 170 trillion, now remember, that's just one nation that wants to be reimbursed. The Saudis have funded the United States lifestyle for the past 50 years minimum, because the petrodollar, the U.S. dollar, was the medium of exchange between nations to buy the oil from the Middle East and clear the transactions. What Vladimir Putin did when he put a floor under the ruble and said, I'm only going to take rubles or gold or commodities for all of Russia's gold, natural gas, their wheat, their neon gas, all of the commodities, some of the rare earths, some of the most platinum and palladium. For most people don't know this, but platinum and palladium are owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Russians, even the South African mines. So what people have got to understand is this. There's a word I termed, Doug, when I started on podcast, not broadcasting on shortwave, not podcasting. I call it narcosynthesis, okay? And narcosynthesis is being like on a bad acid trip. And for the record, I've never done acid, bad or good, okay? But the bottom line is that a bad acid trip, it gives you a false sense of reality. And that false sense of reality that we're seeing right now is becoming more problematic each and every day. And so what is going to, and Doug, I'll throw it right back to you. What's going to put food on the shelves if the farmers don't have water, if the farmers don't have fertilizer, if the farmers don't have seed, if the farmers are being paid by the federal government not to plant their fields? Does that sound like maybe a conspiracy? And I want to make a statement. Conspiracy, before you go, oh, that's just conspiracy. Conspiracy is one or two people agreeing ahead of time, usually to an illegal act, to combine their efforts to bring that illegal act into fruition. And the conspiracy to extinct mankind is the oldest conspiracy in the world. Jesus made the statement, if he, the Lord, didn't intervene for the elect's sake, there'd be no flesh left alive. And the elect of God are the redeemed of God. Some guy tried to tell me on Coast to Coast that the elect are all the evil people. No, that's not true. If you look up the word elect in the scripture, it means those who have accepted Jesus, those who have been chosen by God, and the elect are the people that are going to be redeemed by the power of God. And Doug, there is no earthly power that can intervene in this situation now, because I quote the scripture, and I even reminded myself the other day when I was having one of my, how should I say this, deep talks with the Lord. I said, God, your word says that the foundations be destroyed. What can the righteous do? But Lord, the righteous are going along with their own slaughter. What can I do? What can Doug do? What can any of us on talk radio do? Except hopefully, and talk radio podcasts, I'm sorry, I'm an old guy, 26 years ago. The bottom line is that we're trying to wake people up that still have a vestige of critical thinking in their bodies. So ladies and gentlemen, 25%, I want to ask everybody that's listening to this, did you just get a 25% raise last year? In other words, if you were making $50,000 a year, did you get another $12,500, so now you're making $62,500? If you're making minimum wage, did they raise you from $20 to $25? I know that's not minimum wage, but in Bozeman, Montana, everybody gripes about having to pay $20 to $21 an hour. You can't even live here for $20, $21 an hour. The cost of living has gone off the charts. And that's where everybody wants to move, is where the cost of real estate, the cost of water, everything, Doug, is increasing in the cost. But unfortunately, this is the starvation of humanity on a global scale. From the Bible, we know probably pretty close to half of the world's population is going to be destroyed, a third and a third. Okay, so we just take a third right now. We've got 7, just a little under 8 billion people. Well, you take a third of that and you're pretty close to coming to 2.6. You take a third of the remaining, you know, 4.5. So in essence, we're right about 40 to 50% of the population is going to disappear on the planet. Yeah. And so when you see the COVID bioweapons, when you see the engineering, geoengineering of the weather, when you see the Missouri River, I flew the Yellowstone River, which is one of the bigger rivers in Montana. And Doug, it's sandbars and trickles. I flew the Missouri. It's sandbars and trickles. Sandbars and trickles of water. You know, I remember seeing the days when there's float boats or drift boats. And in some areas, you could probably maybe drift a half a mile, quarter mile max. But the days of going from point A to point B are pretty much over. We just had a big snowstorm in eastern Montana. This is important. That pretty much went into the Dakotas. But Bozeman, we got a skiff of snow. We're the headwaters of the Missouri River. So when Dane Wigington, God bless him, he's probably, in my opinion, and again, I keep saying this because I believe the Bible is clear. You give credit to whom credit's due and honor to whom honor's due. He's been trying to get people to understand that geoengineering, that the chemtrail spraying, which has now come into a whole new arena of understanding because we're talking about nanobots, we're talking about snake venom, and I want to make a statement. I know there's some very bright people saying, oh, that's snake venom stuff. That's not right. Recombinant DNA. The whole program that everybody's buzzing on the internet about, the operational name is Cobra 6. Almost sounds like a G.I. Joe. Cobra 6 is our six different snake venoms that have been genetically manipulated, have been, how do I say this, tweaked in order to bring about the desired results. And you can look on any of the, you look it up in plain for all to see, but just look up snake venom and the pharmacological usage of snake venom. And so, ladies and gentlemen, what I want everyone to understand is when you think there could be nothing more sinister, we haven't seen anything yet. Go ahead, Doug.
You know, I want to expand on that a little bit because, folks, please, thank you for your comments on Rumble and Brighteon. I read them and, you know, saying, hey, watch, you know, watch Dr. Brian Artis. Explain the venom aspect to the SARS-CoV-2 quote virus. Okay. And I watched, Mike Adams' extended interview, three parts. In fact, if you go to HagmanReport.com, click on the right, all three parts are there, under recent articles and you can watch them. And you know, there was a lot of information, Steve, that took me back to your early writings, okay, about different things, but also it made me dig a little bit deeper into current events. And you know, for example, a show of hands out there in the vast studio audience, who has been prescribed blood pressure medication? Okay, there's two, the guy in the green and white sweater there. Yeah. Here's the thing, okay, the drug lisinopril was developed and is essentially a form of snake venom, okay? And I didn't know that, my goodness, as well as some other drugs, including some diabetic drugs to treat type 2 diabetes. So having said all of that, it warrants, at least in my view, Steve, there are too many people who will quickly poo-poo something, whether it be this or something else. We know that look, it doesn't take a detective to know that you're sitting across from someone, they're giving you an account of what happened, like Fauci or Collins or whatever. We know that they're lying out there, you know, at the wazoo, right? We know that they're lying. We may not know the extent or the specifics of the lie, but we know that whatever they're saying, whatever's coming out of their mouth, all those words dropping onto the table, they're all lies. So having said all of that, you point some interesting stuff out. And I think that I think too many people right now are not open to, their minds are closed for whatever reason, or they, again, the delusional madness, which you went back, you know, which you start off with. They're deluded in their thought process, and they've lost all thinking and reasoning skills. I'm open. My mind is not so open that my brains fall out, but I'm open to other possibilities. Hey, what about this? What about, look at everything. And one last thing, you know, in the investigative industry, and I mentioned this before, I think, with you, we are stuck sometimes as investigators on certain things, and we call that paralysis by analysis. Sometimes you're so busy looking at something, and it just kind of, it takes you in a weird place. So having said all of that, I think everything you said is exactly accurate, and the food issue cannot be, the shortages, the water, the food, that cannot be understated. So thank you for all of that. But there's a lot going on, and I think a lot that we have to take into account here in these, shall I say, end of days, if you will. But go ahead.
Yeah, Doug, I think one of the things that's really critical is that, just let me say this, the people who believe the Ukrainian narrative are already dead. I'm sorry, I'm going to tell you that. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I did this yesterday, Doug. I felt, man, I want to see the distance from Belgrade, Serbia, which used to be Yugoslavia or Belgrade or whatever, to Jerusalem. It's 1,202 miles. By hypersonic missile, that's just a little over maybe, now let's see, 600. I mean, it's within, easily within 5 to 7 minutes, okay, depending on which hypersonic missile. So all of the armies of the world are, even though they're staging in Serbia, the Chinese are on record as saying, we're going to take Europe. Oh, gee, I thought this was just a Russian-Ukraine. No, you don't get it. And this is something, too. You know, there's a lot of prophecy out there. Some to be taken with a grain of salt, but some of it's old enough to pay attention to. And I know that there are people that don't believe in Dmitry Dudeman. Oh, he's a false prophet. The people that keep calling the real prophets false prophets, or David Wilkerson. I've told people, I had the privilege of spending a week with David Wilkerson in Bozeman, Montana, and just sitting and listening. I've never met anybody, there isn't anybody like him. And I don't believe there ever will be again, because God raised him up for a unique time period. Now, the thing is, in 1973, he had his vision that the financial collapse would start in Germany. It would then spread to Japan, and I believe it was within 2 weeks, it would be the end of the global financial system as we've known it. In the last 4 days, the net redemptions on Deutsche Bank and Deutsche Bank's derivative is just another word for a pile of lies stacked and sold to others, $49 trillion. So, ladies and gentlemen, what's happening is we're at the cusp of David Wilkerson's vision. Now, let's take Russia and China in Serbia. And what that's a staging ground for isn't just Europe. It's also a staging ground for the Middle East. And we know from the Bible, we just don't know the times. And look, the times and the seasons, there's a season for things, but there's an exact moment at a time during the season. But what we've got now is 200,000 Chinese, 200 trainloads full of armor and ammo and missiles and everything going into Serbia. The United States, 200,000 people, 225, meaning NATO and U.S. troops. Everybody's gearing up for nuclear war except the United States. I told you years ago, Doug, and this was astonishing to me, that you're going to watch Germany and France flip, meaning they're going to go over the side of Russia, and it's a matter of their own survival. And what's important for people to understand is this is critical. We sit as, if you will, crows, C-R-O-W-S, on a fence line. If you've ever been to eastern Montana or any of the prairie states, you always see crows on fence lines. And what crows do is they go, caw, caw, caw. In essence, they've always got something to crow about. And this is how I see, rightly or wrongly, this is how I see where most of the people that are trying to describe what's going on in the Middle East or what's going on in Eastern Europe have no clue. The United States, in conjunction with NATO, just basically provided the weaponry and the location for one of Russia's state-of-the-art missile cruisers. It's called the Muskova, M-U-S-K-O-V-A. Russia knows exactly who provided it. Russia knows exactly who triangulated it. And ladies and gentlemen, that's an act of war. Only in America and NATO is there this disconnect from reality that this is going to stay in a tactical arena. It'll stay in a tactical arena, but it'll be tactical nuclear before it goes intercontinental ballistic missile. For instance, one of the things, there's a secret agreement between Russia now and North Korea. North Korea's got advanced technology. By the way, it should, I won't use that word, it should infuriate every American that we can't even get our hypersonic missiles together because of the Obama nation. When he could have been building them, he had the intelligence to know, he shifted it over to healthcare. And I believe when I call him the abomination of desolation, in my opinion, he was the Obama responsible for the nation we have now that will be made desolate. And Doug, I'm on record, and I think everybody can see this. America has very few allies now. The Afghani betrayal of Afghanistan, leaving $95 billion worth of weapons there. 9,000 American citizens there. That flipped out everybody that used to be our ally. The Japanese took notice of it. The Taiwanese took notice of it. Obviously, Saudi Arabia took notice of it. And now this reapportionment between Washington, D.C. and Tehran, people don't understand that Saudis and the Iranians aren't, you know, a brother love. I mean, these guys have a history of going to war. So what's now happened is all the nations that used to buy all the U.S. Defense Department stuff are now going to Russia because the Russians have the S-400, S-500, and S-550 anti-missile systems. And by the way, you can look them up, and they are so much more effective than the Patriot missiles. So we have betrayed, Doug, all of our allies, with the exception maybe of Britain and Australia. And Canada's a basket case, not the Canadian people, but the government of Canada, because they've already cut their secret deals with the Chinese. So what's happening is this. What there was of the United States of America now is just an illusion of what was. And because people allowed themselves to be deluded, in other words, they became so removed from the truth that they simply believe the narrative and the lies of Saul Alinsky, rules for radicals, dedicated to Lucifer himself. And that's where we're at right now, in my opinion. So when people tell me it's fear-mongering to say there's not going to be food, there'll probably be some food, but most people can't afford to pay $15 a gallon gas. Well, it's not there yet. Well, wait until it is. Most people can't afford to pay $30 for a pound of burger. Well, it's not there yet. So I said, well, if it's not there yet, how can you even project a price when there's this many people in the United States? Basically, it's called econometric forecasting. How can you tell me it's not there yet? I get pictures, I'm sure you do too, Doug. People send me pictures from the East Coast of a 4-pound pot roast that's $120. I don't know if you got that picture. I did. $120.
Yeah, I've gotten several, and I've taken several of some meat, and even organic chicken. One chicken breast, it was like $21. I'm thinking, my goodness, it's going to be very difficult to eat. And by the way, the inflation numbers, and I see this on social media, Steve. I know you're not on there, but I see this about gas prices and about food prices as well. These virtue signaling morons on social media saying, I wouldn't mind. I'd pay $20 a gallon of gas just to punish Russia for what they did in Ukraine, what they're doing in Ukraine. I mean, again, the delusional madness. Here we go. But go ahead.
Yep. I won't define it, but they're DFMs, okay? And DFMs. And I'll even tell you the last word is morons. The that way I can't, you know, offend. See, Doug, here's a, it's interesting to me. In the United States, we're watching the complete dissolution of the rule of law. We're watching people absolutely get away with murder. And yet the whole setup of January 6th in the Washington, D.C., the whole rally and stuff, and we're seeing the most unjust measures. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind everybody, Kamala Harris is on record saying they're going to kill 125 million people. Well, I believe she's 50% short. Because with starvation comes madness. Somebody once said you're only 9 meals away from doing what you never thought you would have done, and now you know you must do. And Doug, I call that the howling dead. Not to be cute, not to be clever, but when I see human beings in China being forbidden water, forbidden food, and they start to go mad and scream. We watched that before with COVID when it was in the Wuhan area. And now it's in Shanghai. But what most people don't understand is the history of China is that they will starve tens of millions of their own people because they only have a holding or producing capacity so much for so many people at one time. So if you're going to move 200,000 people, a military, into Serbia on your quest into Europe and ultimately ending up in the Middle East, how are you going to feed those people? How are you going to feed them? To the victors go the spoils. But what I think is really problematic, and this is really, and when I say really, I know that sounds almost like a Valley Girl kind of talk, but what is so problematic is that there still is a disconnect from empiric reality versus hopium, okay? Hopium. And I love that word because, again, well, I just hope things will turn around. They're not going to turn around. This is the push of the World Economic Foundation, which is nothing more than the Luciferian rule of the Prince of Darkness on the earth that the Bible speaks about. And so I don't know when the 42 months starts. It's not 7 years. It's times, times, times and a half. And the thing that is problematic is if it's getting this bad now, what happens later? What happens, ladies and gentlemen? Somebody said, well, how can I take my silver to buy a loaf of bread at the store? I said, you won't be buying it at the store. There'll be no store with loaves of bread. Well, how can I buy milk for my children? You're going to have to find a farmer that you can trade silver or something. We're going to a commodity-based exchange system. Back to Dmitry Duterman. After his famous vision of Russia attacking the United States, he also, a couple years after that, saw the premier of China and Russia saying, we're not going to let the United States lead the New World Order. We'll do it ourselves. And ladies and gentlemen, you just saw the United States placed against a wall and the firing shots. Now, I love this country that was. I don't even know what it has become. I can't even define what it is except delusional madness. I can't even come up with any appropriate terms at insanity. Add rebellion. Oh, there's no descriptors. But I will tell you this, this is the extinction generation. This is the extinction protocol. This is the annihilation of human race. Now, I've been told I need to have more tact. Well, that's true. But here, if people won't see the obvious, then what good does it do to give them a metaphor? What is, and Doug, this is what I think. I think until they start paying $10, $15 a gallon for gas until the shelves are empty. Okay, let's talk about baby formula. I want to show people the thoughts behind the globalist destruction of human beings to rob children, which is the next generation infants, to rob them of nutrition. And Doug, what's astonishing to me is the downriver or the down genetic pool. They're killing everybody at the end point. There is no future for human beings. And that's what I've been writing about with Genetic Armageddon, Today's Technology, Tomorrow's Monsters, writing in Terminated, The End of the Human Race is Here, It's Not Near, Midnight Strikes, Judgment Unleashed. And yet God's people still will say to me, well, I don't know what you're talking about, repentance. I'm a good person. So why didn't you speak up against 250 million people slaughtered, little babies? Why? You're a good person. I categorically reject there's anything in a human realm of good. There's no such thing as a good Christian. There are redeemed Christians. There is no such thing as a hierarchy. There's only a level of surrender. This is what people don't understand. God made it very clear that we come to him through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit lifts up Jesus. He doesn't lift up, well, brothers and sisters, I got a new word for you. Now, God told me to give you 777 promises that he'll fulfill, but you've got to do your part, brother and sister. Doug, I want a check for $777. This is a real, I'm making fun. I won't tell you who said this. What kind of nonsense is that? I don't even think the money changers in the temple were doing that. Here, I'll give you two turtle doves and a, this, that, or the other thing to offer as a sacrifice. But if you give me 10 more shekels, I know God's going to give you 200 turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. I'm not mocking the things of God. I'm mocking the idiocy of men who look to men when they can come directly to Jesus Christ. And that's the uniquest thing in the world, that when you have a personal relationship with Jesus, he's your Savior, he's your Lord, he's your friend, he's your Redeemer. And so people somehow think they got to go to somebody to get them an audience with Jesus. That's not true. That's not true. And an entire, I won't be involved or asked to speak at a Roman Catholic convention, but the point being is that Jesus, there's one intercessor between man and God the Father, and that is the man Christ Jesus. You know? Confess your sins. We confess them before the Lord, you know? And the deal is that there is a, how do I call it? The great divorce is the religious denial of access to the living God. I know that C.S. Lewis wrote a book like that, but I'm using a little different sense. God says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So what do people do? They want to make sure that nobody can come unto God and get rest, because they're going to load you up with so many burdens, so much religious nonsense, so many false religious practices that people say, what's the use? And God said, well, I told you that. Come unto me. Come unto me. And so what's important is this. Jesus made it clear that the Christians are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. But where is the salt and where is the light? Friendship with the world's enmity with God. That means you're at war with God. Well, Brother Quayle, I'm just going to join the Chrislam movement. I said, good, you're going to get crushed by it. You cannot walk together if you're not agreed. You cannot take the Holy Spirit and walk with the unholy spirit. It doesn't work that way. You cannot take the holy things of God and join them to the unholy things of hell. The point is, Doug, we have so few contending for the faith. That means warring for the faith, because we have a delusional madness. And I would say it's even overtaken the majority of Christendom in the mainstream Christian world.
So, okay, then allow me to ask this, because this is on my heart too, okay? Because what do we as Christians need to do, being faced with everything that we talk about, what is it that we need to do? Because I feel like we need to act. And we need, obviously, we need to be obedient, obviously, and we need to be ask for repentance. But in terms of Christians right now facing what we're facing, whether it is here in the United States or wherever you're listening or watching this, what should Christians be doing right now to fight back against the tyranny, against the injustice, against... What do Christians need to do for the people who are being held captive from January 6th, or the people who are locked down because of, you know, like in Shanghai. What do we need to do? What should we be doing? Praying, obviously, but beyond that, in the physical, Steve.
Well, I think in the physical realm, praying, you know, this is something that basically I think people don't understand. You pray to get an answer to act. You don't just pray to be heard. And most people pray to be heard by themselves, not God. So when Moses was commanded to build the tabernacle in the presence of God on the mountain, God made it clear, do exactly as I've told you. Number one, you've heard it. The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. There is no biblical standard in the land. 3% to 5% max of basically homosexual, gay, transgenderism, lesbianism. It all goes back to this. That's the attack on the family that God created in the Garden of Eden. And so, Doug, first of all, we need to pray up. We need to speak up. We need to stand up, and we need to resist evil. And by resisting evil, we absolutely don't just sit back. And by the way, you and I have a microphone. There's others that have a microphone. And, you know, we have to provoke people to start to believe in the M word, okay? The M word is miraculous, and the I word, intervention. The reason the book of Acts and the Christians in the book of Acts were able to turn the world upside down because they had the P word, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. People don't need pep talks. They don't need more, in my opinion, more prophecies. Oh, my children, I love you. I reject those. Not that God doesn't love his children, but we're to basically be the salt of the earth. And we need to stand up and say, this is wrong. Are people going to hate us? Yeah. But if we don't stand now, they'll bulldoze us later. And unfortunately, I hate to say this to you, Doug, I don't know how to answer your question any other way than this. Not pie in the sky, but it was the supernatural. I'm talking where God can only do what he can do. And God only does what he can do when his people at least do the basics. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto him. Well, I don't want to say the name of Jesus. I can tell by my coward chronicles and my emails, and that's what a lot of them are, coward chronicles, of just how many people have got suggestions, but they won't even name the name of Jesus. They won't. So if Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men, where is it? Can I tell you something? I believe the American Christians, not the world Christians, have been shamed into silence. Have been shamed into silence because we want everybody to like us except God. God said friendship with the world is enmity with God. That word enmity sounds almost, oh, that's spiritual. No, it means you're at war with him. And God says you can never make peace with the devil. That's in the book of Genesis. God said there will never be peace. There'll never be peace between the children of light and the children of darkness. And so the other thing is spiritual warfare.
Okay.
I believe prayer is one thing. I believe imprecatory prayer is another. And imprecatory prayer is what David prayed against God's enemies. And Christians are so passive that even when I speak on imprecatory prayer, oh, that's Old Testament. No, that's reality-based answers to prayer. God, take out the wicked. Because they're cursing us. Doug, this is what's amazing to me. Witches, warlocks, covens, devils, you know, everything, everybody's doing this to make sure we Christians just basically go silently to the slaughter. But where is that voice? Where is that raising up a standard against it? Because the scripture says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard. In essence, there's nothing in human effort that can meet this thing on. And that's where the frustration comes. And the supernatural empowering of the Christians is where we're lacking, in my opinion. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. And I'd like to read, and I've read quite a bit from some Christian writings back during the revolutionary times, okay, here in America. And, okay, so in line with what you're saying, all right, I'm thinking to myself, Christians from 200 plus years ago would never tolerate the grooming, and I use that word intentionally, grooming of our children, the perversity that's thrust upon our young children. They would be outraged. They would be at these schools. They would be at the school board meetings, even more so than they are right now. And we only see a very small smattering of that. Yeah. But yet we don't see that outrage. We don't see that action. And how do I, so having, or Dave Dobmeyer with A.J. Hurley were on Monday, and an abortion clinic. You ran the story at stevequayle.com, where 115 fetuses were found being removed from a clinic in D.C. And anyway, the long story short is the media, of course, misrepresented everything about that. But the 200 years ago, I think the Christian of 200 years ago would have the balls to go out there and say, hey, you're not doing this anymore. I'm not going to let you do this anymore. I'm not going to let you groom my kid, my child. I'm not going to let you teach my child about drag queens, and we're not going to do this anymore. That spirit, we seem to have lost that spirit today.
We've lost. We're a nation of cowards. And I mean this because, again, ladies and gentlemen, if you remember the bottled water world, when it first came out, it was like one of the big companies on the West Coast was Sparklets. They were glass bottles. And through the chemical emasculation of female hormones, xenoestrogen, X-E-N-O-E-S-T-R-O-G-E-N-S, men have been chemically emasculated, Doug. And in essence, you know, they used to say you can take what? You can take the fight out of a man, but you can't take the man out of a fight. In essence, we have become, and this is a biblical principle, and it's in the word, all the men in the midst of thee are women, okay? Now, we watched our military be destroyed from within. We went from don't ask, don't tell to generals and dresses, okay? The rest of the world is astonished at the destruction of U.S. military. Same thing with vaccination. Thank God for 1,800 Navy SEALs that said, we're not going to take them, we're filing suit. But what I think is really more the issue, Doug, is that American church, as represented by the puke pits, that's a pulpit, but now it's a puke pit, won't stand for anything because they want one thing more than they want the favor of God. And that's friendship with the world. And let's take the little people, our brothers and sisters being slaughtered. And Dave Dobmeyer, you know this, they found some full-term live, dead birth babies. But there's no care. There's no concern that we allow Hollywood, we allow Horwood, W-H-O-R-E-W-O-O-D. We allow the, if you will, society to dictate to us instead of us transforming society, okay? Just go along to get along. Listen, it's Romans chapter 1. In the book of Romans, Paul was dealing with all the kind of perversion that was in Rome. And for those of you who know about Pompey and Caligula and some of the different Roman emperors, these people were not Boy Scouts, you know? They were some of the most manifest perversions of humanity in the history up until now. But what are we doing for our children? I said this, Doug, and I mean it. I think the most tragic statement will be for a husband or a wife to make it to heaven. And God asks the parents, where are your children? And they're nowhere to be seen. Oof. Because they didn't care enough to lead them to Jesus. They just had to get them off in preschool, get them off in, you know, health school.
Of course. But you say, okay, friendship with the world, that's to me, because in my mind, that's like saying, well, you know what, I really don't want to speak out, stand up, strike out, because, hey, look, you know, I don't want to risk the comforts of my home, my cable TV, my three meals, my delivery from Amazon or whatever it is, my lifestyle. I don't want to give that up, okay, or jeopardize that, or jeopardize my job, or jeopardize my reputation or whatever. Isn't that what you mean by friendship with the world?
Yes, and here's what God says. I understand where my people are at. Your job is going to disappear. The goods on the shelves are going to disappear. Amazon shipments are going to disappear. Your gas is going to disappear. Your heat is going to disappear. What's going to happen, Doug, is everybody's going to have they're going to have a slap of reality on their face. They're going to have a wake-up call. And they're going to have a wake-up call. And I think the most tragic thing, I pray, and I do everything I can is to help people understand this, is, Mommy, I'm hungry. Daddy, I'm hungry. You see the picture of the bloated little kids in Africa or in Asia? Their stomachs bloat. They have nothing to eat. And yet we were the land of plenty. We were blessed by the Most High God. And Eric, will you put this up now and let Doug read it? Doug, if you want, or I can read it, because this is from Peter Marshall's book, The Light and the Glory. This is perspective, I think, to bring in right at this point, Doug, in this discussion.
Sure. It is impossible to enslave mentally or socially a Bible-reading people. I apologize for that little delay there. The principles of the Bible are the groundwork of human freedom. That's by Horace Greeley. 50 to 60 years ago, it would have been political suicide for any person to vote for abortion or homosexual rights. Not so today. Why? Because our religious leaders have sold out to the God of this world, Satan. And this has brought about the changes we now have. An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The Steve, if you can pick that up from there.
The prophet prophesies falsely.
Thank you.
And the priests rule on their own authority.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The American history book, The Light and Glory, tells how true Christian preachers were the power behind the colonists' fight for freedom. It also points out that nearly a century before the American Revolution,
Charles II.
Okay, I wasn't sure if that was 11. It was Charles II. The advisors warned him. The preachers in America were preaching freedom and urged him to either regulate them or replace them with Episcopal priests. Did you catch this? You see, before a nation can be changed from a Bible-reading, God-fearing people, you have to have the state control the ministers. And this is what happened to America. You now have a state-run religion. Remember this. In 1773, the men of Marlborough unanimously said, a freeborn people are not required by the gospel of Jesus Christ to submit to tyranny. Oh, man, I love that. Okay, now is the time for all Bible-believing, God-fearing to stand and resist evil for our right to exist as a people. Because make no mistake, their plans to kill every man, woman, and child who believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's their plan, and they're telling you that's their plan. I'm ad-libbing now, but how perfect is that? When I said I was reading from the time period of the Revolution, that speaks volumes, and that's essentially what I've been saying. You know, when are Christians going to stand up, speak out, and be active in saying no? You know, homosexuality is wrong. It's a sin. But, oh, you can't say, I don't want to get banned on Facebook or Twitter. Oh, come on. Get the hell off the social networks. And you know what? Who cares? Stand for what is right. That's my ad-libbing now. Go ahead, sir.
Well, no. Stand for whom is right.
Thank you.
And here's something I want to share with people. When you stand for Jesus, God has a way of keeping you alive. I get a lot of people saying, well, if I stand for Jesus, they infer this. Only a couple have said it outright. They'll know I'm a Christian and they'll get my name. Or please don't use my name. I'll lose my job. And I would never use anybody's name. Or, you know, well, I am a Christian, but yeah, I'm surrounded by pagans and believe God to get a new job or turn those pagans into believers. You see, people acquiesce, yield, and give up and give in to the force of arguments around them, but don't know the word of God well enough to contradict their false perceptions. You can call God the universe, you can call him whatever you want, but Jesus is a time reference individual that absolutely came on the scene, that absolutely changed the world. And Doug, and when we used to walk in the ways of the Lord, we didn't have to deal with all this demonic crap. We didn't have to deal with all the alien crap. We didn't have to deal with all of the supernatural, fallen angels, sexual hybridization crap. And now it's all coming upon us because we were the salt of the earth and we lost our saltiness. So what is a person to do? How should we then live? Morning by morning, the psalmist said, new mercies he sees. And when we stand for Jesus, and I'm saying in wisdom, Lord, who should I talk today? Who should I not talk today? Lord, who do you want me not to associate with anymore? And I'll tell you this, Doug, when you start seeking God, it's like a rocket, a three-stage rocket. When the people start seeking the Lord, they get into a higher place with him. And how do I say this? Sustaining friends will fall away, just like a first stage booster and a second stage booster. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we have all had friends who were BFFs. And I could say another for best friends forever. I said, never say that. You only got one friend forever. Everybody I've talked to that ever had a BFF, you know, has always had BS. They turn in from best friends forever to BS friends from this point on, okay? So BFF to BSFF. So what people don't understand, and see, you said something, Doug, that's very critical. Social media has basically encapsulated people of God and people of faith to want to stay in the arena where they feel comfortable. I know people, look, I have friends they're on social media. They know very clearly I'm against it, okay? I can't inject my will, nor will I ever. But I said, remember this. You have been captured by one of the most sophisticated, supernaturally evil, not only self-erecting, but self-incriminating intelligence dossiers there is. And I happen to know what I speak of because I remember when Marcus Wolf, the head of the East German Stasi, was brought into the United States and we paid him huge amounts of millions to set up an internal spy organization. Same thing with Faces of Death book. And ladies and gentlemen, people said, who are you to tell us what to do? I said, I'm nobody to tell you what to do, but I said, I'll tell you where it's going to lead. And now what's happened, Doug, is the disassociative behavior with reality is now being put into the metaverse by that little pervert, and in my opinion, Zuckerberg. The metaverse? Are you kidding me? Now they have to deal with people that want to rape women in the metaverse. They want to kill people. Now they're talking about if somebody kills somebody in the metaverse, can they be charged with a crime? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell everybody this. Get out of that crap and stay in God's universe. Because that's all nothing more than a mental prison, an artificial construct, a non-real world that will basically take you and cast you aside. And the technology, you know, Doug, again, Jesus said, if any man would seek after him or follow him, let him deny himself, take up the cross and follow him. Well, you know, this made selfies the thing they are. And we are the most selfish nation in the world. We don't care about babies being butchered in the womb. We just care about finding some athlete And I'm sorry, I'll say it this way, but, you know, producing children, and the father then goes out and sleeps with another woman who has another child, and some of the most popular women in the world of television, no names, but, you know, they got so many babies by so many different men, and those kids will grow up without a father. Yet that's what the world sees when they see the United States of America. And God has portrayed the United States, I believe, he's stripping off the veneer so that people will really see what our nation has become. They may want to deny it. They may not want to take responsibility for it. And that's another point. Most Christians will not take responsibility for their own actions. And that's why there's nothing to take responsibility for. They want to stay in a safe zone. The safe zone is coming to an end. And may we all have, by the grace of God, the power to stand in the days that are coming upon us.
Boy, amen. You know what, folks? Play that back again. Rewind and go back and listen to what Steve said, because that's so very important. Before I get back to Steve, I want to thank each and every one of you for standing with us and supporting this broadcast, supporting Steve through his private intelligence briefings and Q-Files and whatever he has, and specifically Megadraw too. Man, that's so important. But I also want to thank our very, very few, but very select corporate sponsors, including ZipRecruiter. And, you know, Eric and I were talking about this. A happy wife is a happy life, right? You get that idea, right? Well, guess what? If you're a business owner, happy employees really can add to your productivity. And according to the latest research, 90% of employers plan to make enhancing the employee experience a top priority this year. After all, a happy workplace is a key to attracting and keeping great employees. And, you know, you could do this in a number of ways. Offer more learning opportunities, for example, or more flexibility in work schedules. There's a number of different ways. And if you need to add more employees to your team, there's ZipRecruiter. Their matching technology helps you find the right people for your roles fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. And remember, two N's on Hagman. I got to tell you, ZipRecruiter uses its powerful technology to find and match the right candidates with your job. Then it proactively presents these candidates to you. You can easily review the recommended candidates, invite your top choices to apply for your job, which encourages them, by the way, to apply faster. And it's just no wonder why ZipRecruiter is the number one rated hiring site in the U.S. based on G2 ratings. Here's what you need to do. If you're an employer, if you're looking for that special person for that special job, or if you're looking to add to your workforce, find the right employees for your workplace right now with ZipRecruiter. Try it for free. That's right. Try it for free at this exclusive web address. It is ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. That's H-A-G-M-A-N-N. ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. ZipRecruiter, that's the smartest way to hire. My guest, of course, not really a guest. He's part of the program. He is the program today. And that's Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Make sure you bookmark his website. And also take advantage. Let me tell you something. Take advantage of all of the alerts. You got to be on top of the alerts. But take advantage of gen6.com, which is the sister site that offers Megadraw. And do me a favor. Watch that video. Watch Megadraw. Get yourself a DVD of Megadraw and watch it. And, hand it out to others or have them buy their own copy. But Megadraw is front and center, in my view, what we should be looking at today. That's Megadraw at gen6.com. Steve Quayle, sorry for the interruption there. I appreciate your time and patience, and I appreciate your wisdom, because this is an important broadcast. I think people, you know, they're seeing the problems, they're hearing about the problems, and they want to be good Christians, at least most of them, I think. When I say good Christians, I'm talking about they want to be biblically obedient, but they're looking for that direction in a sense. I don't know if I said that right, but you get the idea, I think.
And, all right, you said it right.
Okay.
Everybody's looking for direction, but they're looking for direction in all the wrong places. Society cannot direct. It can only reflect the individuals that make up that society. And for instance, Doug, and this is really critical because today is the 14th. Actually, tomorrow, obviously, morning will be the 15th. But most Americans don't understand what it means to lose 90%, 9 out of 10 people that you see. Just go into any situation. If you're in a car wash, count 10 people. No, 9 of them are going to disappear. There is no way the war in Ukraine and Russia and NATO and the U.S. is going to stay there, because the devil himself wants the maximum amount of death in order to bring on the man of peace, who will be the Antichrist. And the word Antichrist means in place of Jesus Christ. And everybody's going to run after this guy. And Prince Charles and Klaus Schwab have all made reference to him. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a full court press. It doesn't go back to normal. It doesn't go back to normal. And again, kick out of your mind that you're going to have selection any longer. You won't be able to be lucky if you can find a can of you know what, chunky beef soup. You won't have 10 different choices. You'll be blessed to have one. And Doug, I think this is really critical. The amount of nonsense speak, even in the U.S. foreign policy, here's a statement, ladies and gentlemen. I have heard President Putin, this is my statement, say 7 times, if there's an existential threat to Russia, they will use their nuclear weapons in a first strike. I have made it my habit, my goal, my research to tell you that's not an empty statement. It's not propaganda. And here's another thing, Doug. What the liars in the mainstream press have done, if you do anything other than their official narrative, Russia bad, Ukraine good, Russia bad. No, Russia was supporting you, my brothers and sisters in America, by giving the farmers fertilizer. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen, 30% of the wheat. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen, our high technology with electrical vehicles is based on rare earth metals. And everything that we did to punish Russia is now destroying us, because Russia has a world that's willing to deal with Russian oil, Russian gas. You have the idiot in charge of the United States to cut off our pipelines. Now we're importing, and I want, Doug, people to understand this. I don't know when, but you will live to see this probably very soon. Very soon meaning within months. You and I, and we will go to sleep at night. Mom, probably Friday. I would just guess Friday or even Thursday night. And things will begin to get real iffy and sketchy, because people won't be able to withdraw money from the checking accounts. The ATMs won't work. There'll be anomalies. You'll see the down detector on the internet, providing the internet's still up, and saying people are reporting all kinds of anomalies. I want everybody just to take this to the Lord in prayer. I mean that. If you're a Christian and you believe God answers prayers, and ask him, Lord, how should I then prepare? If I go to sleep on a Thursday, it's actually set for a Thursday, it being Operation Sandman, where is the U.S. dollar repudiation for all debts, private and domestic. In other words, the money's not worth anything anymore. Means your bank accounts won't be worth anything. This isn't scare tactic. This is what's going on behind the scenes. The first shot fired across the sinking ship USS Lollipop was the demand for $170 trillion by the Saudi Arabians. Now, someone will go, Doug, and they'll try and go, I don't find it on the internet. Of course you don't, because you don't know the people that can tell you. And the only reason I can is because I'm trying to be faithful to warn the people of God, those who have ears. I know there are people that claim that I'm a fruitcake, I'm a fearmonger, whatever. But ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to pass, I want you to mark those people. I want you to remember the people that told you to prepare. Oh, that's just fear porn. Remember this, because in essence, Doug, they fired the round that people believed that killed them. You hear what I'm saying there? They believed the lie that they had no need to prepare. They believed the lie that everything is as the same. Scripture even has a scripture passage on that. All things remain the same. So where is the promise of his coming? people have got to start listening to the Lord. And if you don't know how to hear the voice of the Lord, the best way is to start reading the Word of God. And basically, just start with the Psalms. Start with the Gospel of John. But this is the, this, as you just read it, Doug, on the air, this is the only thing that can preserve. We're salt. That's why I like Dave Dobemeyer, you know, the salt, pass the salt. Well, look, we're in a society now that will accept anything perverted, demented, twisted, but anything wholesome, holy, or right, you're automatically suspect. Ladies and gentlemen, we are watching the 10 plagues of Israel, 10 plagues of Exodus. Only the devil jumped to the 10th one. He's killing all of the babies. He's through abortion, through infant formula. Doug, I don't know what it's like to be, thank God, a nursing mother, but I know there's a lot of nursing mothers out there. But what happens when they have nothing to feed? Well, they better get some breast milk going, you know? And well, I can't because it interferes with my job. Let me make it simple. You're not going to have a job much longer. What happens to every employer in the United States when force majeure is declared on the U.S. dollar? And I want to make it clear, that means not even merchants inside the country. Well, then guess what? Oh, we thought about this, so we're going to have a digital currency. I'm not going to believe a digital currency put out by the United States government when they basically just defaulted.
I got Bitcoin. Yeah.
So here's the deal. You know, I mean, this is a $5 bill, you know, and this is probably worth a nickel right now, okay? Not even that much. But what's happening, this is only worth, or $20 bill is only worth what someone will take it for. And I think most of us can remember when 25 bucks would fill your tank of gas, you know? I can remember 25 bucks filling my tank. I went there to fill my tank the other day, and it's a 25-gallon tank, and it was almost $125 because in Bozeman, just, you know, regular gas is like $4.10 and mid-grade is $4.45. So what I want people to understand is this. If you hear something that sounds so outrageous, and to a lot of people, Doug, they say, well, what about my IRAs? What about my 401ks? What about my this? What about that? Why don't you watch what happens to your make sure your bottom is covered because, and I'm telling people, I've warned people for years, and look, this is a pitch for precious metals. Silver is so difficult to get now. Gold is becoming problematic. The amount of gold that's trading between sovereign wealth funds, those are the countries that have the most amount of money. Russia has way more than 1,500 tons. It's probably got closer to 30,000 tons, which China has too. And what you're watching is a new global currency coming in that's based on commodities. And water will be the most precious commodity. Food, edible food will be the most precious commodity. And again, I don't want anybody that's ever listened to the Hagman Report, anything I've ever done, been on, every place I've appeared, to become the howling dead. Because 9 meals, unless you're fasting, but 9 meals will turn most people crazy. And what they've done in China is cut off the water, which means they cut off the sewer. They're trying to kill tens of millions of people because, in essence, Doug, that's a way to re-divert the food that they have. And China's buying as much food as they can get on the open market. So where is America right now? It is a nation consumed in lust. And lust is the appetite of the devils expressed through humans. Whether it's bloodlust, you know, and I know, and Russ knows, and the people I work with, Russ, there is life in the blood, and these monsters, and they're literally monsters that do the most, and I won't go there, that do the most horrific things to little children, obviously always resulting in their death. The bloodlust is so great that it defies the imagination. Oh, well, I just don't want to wreck my beautiful mind with that. Well, you better wreck it because you may end up on the platter. And see, this is something too. I don't think people read the Old Testament to understand that things can get so tough that pregnant women or women with children will basically kill and eat each other's child. I don't think people understand that. And now you've got, it was, thank God it was taken off the TV. It was something called Santa Clarita Diet or something. It was just about cannibalism.
Wow.
So you're seeing cannibalism enter into the psyche. And that's why, again, Doug, give God the glory. But I don't believe anybody would have ever put cannibalism and major volcanoes going off at the same time as those signals that the Great Tribulation is starting. See, how do you have to, can I ask you this? This is a good question. How dead do you have to be almost, in essence, your last five breaths to realize, gee, maybe I'm still here? I mean, you know, if people die and they go to be with the Lord, they die and go be with the Lord. The rapture was irrelevant at that point, but their ability to stand at whatever point God calls any of us through, that's what we need to do to be overcomers. And I see no teaching, maybe there's some. And I'm not aware of everything. I just know I don't watch Christian TV. I don't know anybody teaching an overcoming message. I don't see anybody teaching that you stand against evil. Now, there are those who do, okay? But they're minor voices in minor fellowships. The only thing that will get the attention of God's people is during the worst of times when God, as he always does, comes through on behalf of his people. And I understand now, there's no way Christians can deliver themselves from this evil. We have succumbed to it. We have bought the lie. There is nothing in us that will stand up. Now, there are some really mighty men and women of God, but I'm saying the majority won't, especially in the evangelifish world, okay? Because a jellyfish has no backbone. And friendship with the world's enemy with God. Friendship with the world's enemy with God. If you are friends with the world, you are at war with God. So let me ask you this. If you're going to go to war with God, do you really think you're going to go to heaven when you die? Or are you going to the lake of fire? You see, people say, well, you're just trying to scare. I'm scared of the lake of fire personally. I've seen hell, Doug. I couldn't believe it existed. But the hopelessness, the despair, and the one thing God showed me about hell, I didn't see the devil, but was the hopelessness and despair that you're there forever and you don't get out. Ever, forever doesn't mean, oh, yeah, you just get punished and purged. No, it's forever. And there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And there is no fear of God in the land. There is no fear of God in the land. And if Christians will not stand up for Jesus, they're going to be bulldozed, Doug. And all I'm saying is people will stand up for Jesus. God will stand up for them. And you know, look, I don't know how it all works out for everybody else. But at the end of the day, Doug Hagman has to take his stand for Jesus. At the end of the day, I have to at the beginning of a day. And for those of us who have been on talk radio and podcasting and all that stuff, you know, the only thing that's going to account for anything is standing up for Jesus. And the greatest joy I've ever had, Doug, and thank you for letting me come on your platform, is when people say, I was a backslider. I heard you guys talking about Jesus. I heard you say that Jesus would forgive me, and I'm back with the Father. I can't do backflips, okay? But if I could, I would. I can't do front flips, and I can't jump very high. But the point I'm saying is this. No greater testimony to the moving of the Holy Spirit and the conviction of not only sin, but the welcoming back. And it's not the prodigal son, it's the prodigal father. God is always willing, and he never gets tired of forgiving. How many of us get tired with ourselves of asking for forgiveness? Well, that's on us. That's not on God. And then when we get tired of asking for forgiveness, we say, Lord, help me to change. So I can walk in forgiveness and not do the stupid things I've done in the past. But Doug, that's the joy in this life, because what we're contending for now are eternal stakes. You and I both know people that are convinced they are heaven's answer to God wanting to hang out with them. They may be surprised. Yeah. What I'm saying is it's about Jesus. It's not about them. And Jesus is someone that you can lift up. And the only way that men are drawn unto Jesus is by lifting him up.
Amen.
And that's the word of God. So,
yeah.
Doug,
yeah.
We are a nation, and I would even go beyond delusional madness, and I'd add one other word, damnation madness, because people so mockingly go into eternity thinking there are no results or there are no ramifications for the evil that they've done.
You know, that there was a poll done, and I think it was shown on Tuesday's show, about people believing that these are the end of days. And I found it interesting, Steve, one demographic polled, or at least labeled on this poll, were atheists. And I'm thinking, well, okay. You know, to me, that says something about having a belief in the biblical timeline and heaven and hell and a God and good and evil and such. I don't know where I was going with that, except to say that, you know, I think this is an important show because I think that people as Christians, as we are Christians, and we call ourselves, especially conservative Christians, politically biased conservative as Christians, no one's coming to rescue us. It's us. And we, right. I believe that we, it's up to us to put on the mantle of, I mean, it's our duty to go out there and to make the changes on behalf of God in a righteous and a righteous manner. In other words, righteously change what we can to be obedient to God. But and I think a lot of people need to hear that the time for sitting around is over, because
and it is over. Yeah. But Doug, the other scripture is, and I think this is where we're at, and pray about it, everyone. Those of you who claim to know Jesus as Savior, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? When the wicked rule, the righteous mourn. So what can the righteous do if the foundations are? The only answer I have to you is to set your affection above and look for that city as Abraham did, whose builder and maker is God. I don't think that's corny religious talk. I really believe this. I believe that we are now in that time, Doug, that we're given over, and the end of the age or the end times is not the end of the world, but it is the end of everything we have known. And ladies and gentlemen, it's like the song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things on earth will grow strangely dim. What is it? In the power of his glory and grace. And so what we have to do is know this, and this is the hardest thing, Doug. I know we're running out of time too. The hardest thing is to recognize that everything around you is not only an illusion, but it's not eternal. Whether this is like prison planet for the lives we have, 70 years, 80 years, whatever, and God put us here as a testing ground, you know, and in essence, God doesn't force anybody to worship him. The devil does. But so where we're at, ladies and gentlemen, we have to look for a city whose builder and maker is God. And what that means to me is we have to seek him for each step of the way of our life. Lord, what is the most important thing I can do today that will have eternal consequences? And so, Doug, when you and I are speaking to people on your audience, whatever podcasting or broadcasting, we're pleading with men to see that whatever they see around them is going to come to an end. And the United States, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you from military guys I know, not the ones that are wearing dresses, not the ones that are wearing lace panties, but real guys in spec ops, real guys out there, they know what's coming. And that what they are surprised at is the American people are walking so blissfully, ignorantly, and choosing to walk into their death, their destruction, and their demise. And one of them said, how long, Steve, and I don't know the answer to this. One of them asked me, he said, how long, Steve, are you going to knock your brains out? He was kind to suggest I had them. Trying to warn people that don't give a darn. Trying to plead with people that, quite candidly, don't want to be troubled. And I said, I guess until the Lord says stop. I guess until the Lord says the night's come, Steve, when no man can work. And Doug, in that 1982 prophecy, 88 prophecy, whenever it was, that God's going to bring the United States to a complete stop. Mark my words, that will come to pass. No trains will run, no planes will fly, no trucks will, and God is going to deal with the United States. We're going to be nuked, ladies and gentlemen. That's not scare. That's truth. I know the targets. It was given to me. It's obvious, you know. And the thing is that, but do people care, Doug? No. So if people don't care, now some do, and I can say, I wouldn't be in Washington, D.C. right now if I were you. I wouldn't be in New York City if I were you. I certainly wouldn't be in L.A. if I were you. And people say, well, who are you to tell me? I said, I'm not. I said, if I were you, I wouldn't be there. Well, I have my job. I have my family. I have my uncle's relatives, blah, 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 blah. Seek God. I have no answers for anybody. My goal is to get answers for myself, for my family, and to get answers for those who are looking for them, that are looking for what I would say, advice based on the Word of God, not just based on false headlines. And again, propaganda is what liars do. The truth is not propaganda. But when it comes to Russia, when it comes to Ukraine, the entire Ukrainian narrative is a false lie. And if you see, and I'm telling you what, if the whole world wants to gang up on Russia, they better be able to have catcher's mitts that they can intercept hypersonic missiles. That's not BS. They better understand what Satan 1 and 2 intercontinental ballistic missiles are. They better understand what the weapons of indignation are. They better understand what Poseidon nuclear torpedoes, 100 megatons are. And Doug, we have none of that in the U.S. arsenal. And let me just say this. We will watch retaliation for the U.S.-NATO attack on the Moskva, which is a state-of-the-art Russian missile cruiser. My guess, within 2 weeks. Maybe it'll come quicker.
Is that the Bismarck moment, do you think, Steve?
I think it is. I think it is. Good critical, good historic perspective on that statement.
Yeah, and you look at, and what you said too, we've got about 2.5 minutes, but what you said as well, you look at what America has in terms of military might and armaments versus what other countries, including and especially Russia, have. Oh, my goodness. And you know, the larger thing on all of that is we were once a great nation. We were given gifts from God because of our obedience to God. And look what we've done, or look what's happened. But you know what? There is, and I think people need to hear this, we need to turn back to God. It's never too late to turn back to God, right? I mean, that's
it's never too late, but for many, it will be their last breath to do it.
Yeah.
And again, you know, how long do we have?
We've got about a minute and a half.
So, hey, Eric, will you put up that radiation chart from Texas? This is important, Doug.
Okay.
Well, people think that we're not going to have a nuclear war. The radiation monitoring sites across the world are showing huge spikes in residual radiation, which is, if you can blow that up, the red dot, ladies and gentlemen, is 233,113 CPMs. And that's huge. But that happens to be a nuclear weapons depot in the area of Texas. And everybody's preparing for nuclear war except the people in the United States. But where that red dot is, Doug, this is all over the world. And you can see where the nuclear weapons are being positioned. And you can see those counts are huge. H-U-G-E. That can only be accounted for by unshielded nuclear weapons. So, ladies and gentlemen, ask the Lord if we are going to face a nuclear strike on America. I believe Dimitri Duneman, I believe A.A. Allen, I believe Henry Groover, I believe A.C. Valdez, I believe those real ahead of time prophets have warned us. And now, Doug, when it plays out, we can't say that God did not tell us.
No. And we can't say either that you haven't been the watchman crying very loud and sounding the alarm, because you have, and we appreciate that. And we don't know how long we've got, folks. We don't know how long we have on the air. It's going to be up to, you know, it's going to be up to God. I don't think it's going to be our decision to make. So, but brother, I appreciate you. This has been an incredible, I believe, an incredible spiritual program, and I think a lot of people needed to hear what was said today, and I thank you for that.
You're welcome, Doug, and trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Lean not into our own understanding. And all our ways, we acknowledge him, Jesus, and he'll direct our path. That is my daily, daily quotation.
As now it will be mine too. God bless you, my friend. Have a great night. All right, folks, that'll do it. Again, thank you so very much from the bottom of my heart for supporting this platform, for supporting Hagman Report, Steve Quayle, all of us. From Eric the Tech, and by the way, Maya, doing very, very well at home, and God bless you. Thank you for your prayers. With that, have a great night, everyone.